What happened was true. The most bizarre and brutal series of crimes in America.
Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. I'm your host, James Ryan, and on today's episode of the podcast, I am talking the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original from 1974, directed by Tobe Hooper, with a budget of $140,000, with an unknown cast, a plot that follows five friends as they make their way through Texas. They're supposed to go to some old homestead and look at it, but instead they find themselves terrorized by a family of cannibals. It is intense. It's as intense, I would imagine, as it was back then. This came a year after The Exorcist, which I'll be talking about in just a few days. It was advertised as being based on true events, but the vast majority of this, it's based off the serial killer. I think the last name is Gain or something, Ed Gain. But yeah, most of this is just completely made up. The serial killing element, yeah, perhaps that is there, but it's very, very, very loosely based on real crimes. Of course, this movie struggled to find distributors. It was banned in a lot of countries. It was not shown internationally. But when you think of horror films, you think of Nightmare on Elm Street, you think of Halloween, you think of The Exorcist, you think of Alien, and you think of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It is just an absolute classic for a reason. It is definitely the most low budget of any of those. And that low budget feel, I actually think, is beneficial for the film. They filmed this basically seven days a week, for super, super long hours, because Tobe Hooper was renting all this equipment and they just had to make this film as fast as possible. So I'll get into the plot just a little bit more. There's not a whole lot of detail. There's not a whole lot to go off. It's a pretty simple premise, but anyway, like I said, five friends, they're driving through Texas. They end up picking up this hitchhiker, and this hitchhiker attacks them. They kick the hitchhiker out. But then they realize that they are out of gas. And because of that, they kind of get lost in these open fields. A couple of the friends find their way to this house. And when they get to that house, we are introduced as viewers to Leatherface, who loves to wield a chainsaw, loves to kill people, and is shown as having some sort of intellectual disability. More on that in part two. This film is definitely a commentary on the meat industry. There is very, very visceral, grisly violence that is supposed to take the viewer into what it is like being in a slaughterhouse. This movie is definitely not for most people. It's not a movie for me, but I wanted to check it out again because it is just such an influential movie. It's such an all-time classic. This is probably the last time I'm ever going to watch it, so there it is. I think in terms of quality, I think it is a very, very well-made movie. Not a movie for me. I think the pacing is pretty solid here. I think the scares and the violence here work really, really well. I never think, and I know this is a criticism I've given quite often, but I never think this movie is just gore for the sake of gore. Like I said, I think there's that commentary, that social commentary aspect, that food industry commentary. And I think because of that, this film largely works. The performances are definitely uneven from time to time, and that's due to having relatively unknown actors and kind of giving them this bigger role, and giving them a chance to really do the best that they can here. But yeah, the acting, not having any sort of big name, is definitely a drawback for this film. But it does, in a way, again, it does help, because this movie is so low budget and almost feels like a found footage movie from time to time, though it's not filmed that way.
it does have that kind of real, that real feel, like you are there. So if you are brave, you can check out the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like I said, that is probably the last time I will be watching this. And now it is time to talk about the sequel, a very big tonal shift upcoming.
Thirteen years ago, audiences across America were horrified by the savagery of a faceless killer. In the wake of this bizarre rampage, he vanished. Now, after more than a decade of silence, he has come out of hiding.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, also directed by Tobe Hooper. This time it is written by L.M. Kit Carson. That's what it says. That's what I had written here. Quite the name. And they actually did get a big name actor for this in Dennis Hopper, which I didn't read anything about. He's notorious for being a difficult actor to work with. I'm not sure how difficult he was in the filming of this, but that would be interesting to read about later. This film was released in 1986. Like I said, the first one was released in 1974. So it's usually not a great thing when there's that long of a gap between first and second films. And I have to say, they definitely went for something different with this one. It definitely had, this one is more comedic, but it goes all in still on the gore and the violence. So the plot follows this radio host who her name is Vanita Brock, and she's known, her nickname is Stretch, and she is she's abducted by Leatherface and his family, and Lefty, who is this police officer, the sheriff, played by Dennis Hopper, goes after one to save Stretch, but goes after Leatherface and his family to save Stretch. But also he is looking for revenge because he happens to be the uncle of Sally and Franklin, who were characters that were killed off in the first movie. So I mentioned earlier that they showed in the first movie, Leatherface is having a disability. They go all in on that one in this movie. Really kind of delving a little more into the family dynamic and his character, which I think is a good thing, actually, in the fact that you get to see a little bit more. For this movie, it works. I'm glad they actually went the route they did in the first one, where it was just like, okay, this is just horrific. I don't know anything about this family. This is just genuinely like, yeah, just terrifying and dark and awful. This one gives a little bit more background, and I think it being a sequel, I think that that was maybe a little more important to do. Some of the set design here, especially when it gets to the ending of this movie, the last 20 or 30 minutes, I think is pretty fantastic. That being said, where the conclusion of this film takes place is very, very silly. Dennis Hopper tries his best in this movie, but this movie gives him absolutely nothing to do. He spends most of the time, like the last 20 or 30 minutes, he's trying to get to save Stretch. He's trying to save the radio host, but he is just chainsawing all these, he's just chainsawing everything in sight, basically, in order to get to Leatherface and his family. And it seems to go on and on and on. And then when he finally does get to Leatherface, he's just yelling and brandishing a chainsaw, and it's just lots of chainsaw fights. And this movie just goes off the rails very, very quickly. I can't say that I enjoyed watching this film very much. There were points here and there, that I don't know. I didn't really enjoy watching the part one either, the first one. But I at least respected it. This movie, I don't know. It just does not work for me. Mixing the comedy, with this horror, like just how horrific this situation is, but then adding comedy to it just did not work for me. Didn't seem to work for anyone else either. Roger Ebert gave it 1 star. I feel like most critics felt similarly. Yeah, this is not a movie that I would recommend. Definitely a skip on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. If you are brave, you are more than welcome to check out the first one, though, just because, again, it is considered a horror classic today. So, on to tomorrow. Tomorrow, I am talking about a late 90s classic, I Know What You Did Last Summer, which I only know about because The Simpsons did a little parody of it for one of their Treehouse of Horror episodes. I'm so excited to talk about that one. And then on Tuesday, I am talking, it's the big one, 1973's The Exorcist. So, hope you can tune in for the next couple of episodes. Thank you for tuning in for today's, and I will be back tomorrow to talk about I Know What You Did Last Summer.